With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny. Alice's morning show. It's 7:04 Tuesday morning. This part of the show is sponsored by Sovereign Health.
Take it away. All right, everyone. So for a couple months now, Sarah has been talking about a film called The Room. And she randomly saw it a couple months ago, and then
you didn't turn her on to it?
No.
Oh, my kids are
Did you know about it before she mentioned it?
Anytime you were in LA, you couldn't avoid this guy's billboards. They were everywhere, and it's a super creepy billboard of this guy with his like half sunken eyes and half closed.
He has one droopy eye and one like the billboard for it is so strange. And I guess he ran this billboard on his own dime for like.
For
Five
years.
Years.
No, way longer than that. Like 15
years.
15 years. Yeah. And he always had...
His phone number is on, like, apparently if you called the phone number on the billboard, it would go to his house. Like, he would pick up the phone.
That's exactly right. So, this is the billboard. See
the
that?
Room.
And
right.
And you can see his face. So, anytime you were on any of the main drags in LA, you saw this. And he would always be next to whatever the hot Pixar movie was or whatever the hot Transform, then you'd see The Room. So I knew about the film for a long, long time. I just never, you know, bothered to see it. So Sarah starts raving about it. Then she starts talking about The Disaster Artist. I'm like, all right, Sarah's super into this. We gotta like, we gotta.
Did you come to that screening party at my house?
No, I didn't come. No. I just watched it online. And finally, the movie studio said, listen, Hooman, we're only going to let four people interview James and Dave Franco. Do you want to be one of the four? Talk to Uzette about it. I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do it. Sarah loves this film. And I watched a couple of the other interviews with James and Dave, and I'm like, all right, these guys really want to support this film. So I know the interviews are going to be good. Often, celebrities are kicking and dragging to be interviewed. It wasn't the case with these guys. I watched like 10 interviews and read a few more, and it was really important to me to ask questions that hadn't been asked before. So Bryn came with me, and here's our interview. What you're going to hear at the beginning is we were originally promised 12 minutes, then it was 10 minutes, and then the day of at the Ritz-Carlton, it was 8 minutes. So
Were they on time?
Well, so when you go to the Ritz, there's a special area that's set aside for the interviewing press. And they were going between room to room. So it was two rooms. So when one room is, you go set up in the other room. And then, you know, it's back and forth. So we were all set up. We're ready to go. And I knew the clock was going to start. I didn't know if it was going to start the second they left that room or the second they came in. So this is the lead up to them walking into the room. And then
the interview. This is you guys pre-interview.
Yeah, this is us. Yeah, for just a few seconds.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Here they come. And in...
Rolling.
They're almost... They're standing still.
They're not really coming yet.
Yeah. 8.5. She said 8.5. All right, here they come. Hey, what's up, Sarah and Vinny, people of Alice Radio? We are live with Dave Franco and James Franco of the new film, The Disaster Artist.
Maximizing our...
Yeah, bro. We only got 8 minutes. Come on. We got to start it while you guys are walking in. No, the 8 minutes start until wait for him to sit.
You guys then already
start,
did half the interview?
Wait for him to sit, then start the 8 minutes. So
and go.
Dave, what was your favorite scene in the film?
Favorite scene? I don't know about scene, but I have a couple favorite lines. When he says... Oh, your friend, little kids. And then also... Don't be weird. And also when I say, hey, man, you made a movie. How many people can say they've done something like that? And he says...
It's awesome.
All right. Bryn's going to act out his favorite scene in the film, and you guys critique it.
Great.
Oh, God.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bull... I did not hit her.
I did not. Oh, hey, Mark.
Not bad, not
pretty
bad.
Good.
You, I gave you a 7.
You know,
7
you,
for effort.
You missed the big line at the end. It's oh hi Mark.
Oh, hi.
Not
hey,
oh hey Mark.
Oh man, you can't screw that up. That's the most famous line.
Fine.
Okay, this is an obvious question, but I need an unbiased answer. Should you watch The Room before you watch The Disaster Artist? And do you need to watch The Room before you watch The Disaster Artist?
You do not need to watch The Room before you watch The Disaster Artist. We, obviously, that was on our mind a lot while making it. And we kind of give you a sort of introduction to The Room and everything about it. And, you know, it's easy to watch clips of The Room online. So if you want, you can just watch a couple clips and you'll get a sense of all of its glory. But if you are a Room fan, there are a lot of Easter eggs and references in our film that you'll enjoy.
This needs to be a little self-serving. You guys grew up in Palo Alto. I grew up in San Mateo.
Nice.
Have you guys ever listened to Alice Radio, Sarah and Vinny in the morning?
Oh, yeah.
That's us.
Yeah. There we go.
Nice. James has no idea what we're talking about.
I know it sounds familiar. Uh-huh. It's a little longer since I've lived there than Davies, but yeah.
Did you enjoy the show back in the day?
Sure, absolutely.
Are you just saying that?
Here's the thing. I feel like I did. I don't have any strong memories, but like you say the name and it brings up good, positive vibes.
All right. I don't even know what, yeah.
We're losing time.
Okay.
Dave, I've heard you say in other interviews that the reason this is your first time acting with James is because you've always said no.
Uh-huh.
Is there a role in particular you regret passing up doing with James?
Definitely
be honest
not.
For once.
Nope. No regrets.
Next question.
You're not going to admit it? You're not going to admit it?
All right. The reason I asked that question is because there are so many interviews where people were saying to Dave, why is this the first movie you guys have done together? And Dave was like, oh, it's on me. I've always said no. I've always said no. But nobody said, hey, what have you regretted saying no to? So he wouldn't answer that question because there are so many movies James Franco's done.
Minute.
What else you got?
Hey, where and when can we expect to see an interview with Tommy? You interviewing Tommy as Tommy?
Yeah, that happened.
It did happen. Oh. It's archived. Has not yet seen the light of day. It's a bit of bizarre magic.
I'm sure it'll be a beautiful DVD extra.
Yeah.
All right, two last questions. Please don't rush. What do you guys do when you're entirely overwhelmed in life? How do you escape? Be honest.
Dave's good at that.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at doing nothing. I love food. That's a weird thing to say, but it's all I really care about these days. And so I just go to restaurants with my friends and then sit at home with my wife and my cats and watch documentaries. I don't know.
All right, James?
I hike in Griffith Park. I hike to the observatory, big James Dean spot, and I surf.
Do you, okay, look, between the two of you guys, you have about, I don't know, 15 movies coming out. Do you see yourselves actually doing an actual film and putting Tommy Wiseau in it, or anyone in the cast of The Room in an actual film?
I feel like maybe at some point in our lives that will happen.
Really?
It'll probably happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Tommy does have a part in our movie. It's at the end of the credits. We tried to put Greg in. Greg was in it. It's just that the whole sequence got cut. It wasn't because Greg wasn't good, but we put the real Greg in it. Yeah.
The majority of these questions have you heard before?
No, man. You're fresh.
And then lastly, I just want to tell you, my favorite scene in the film, hands down, bar none, was with you with the sock around the... and the whole close up on your ass. I mean, high hilarity.
Thank
the
you.
Best.
Thank
all right,
you.
Smooth ass. Geez, a body double for that? Or
didn't even shave.
All right, Dave Franco, James Franco, the movie's The Disaster Artist. It's out now. Go check it out. Thanks so much, guys.
Great right, question.
Can we do a picture?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, we left that.
Thanks so much, guys. That was great.
That
was
thank you.
That was great.
If you want to see the picture, it's at the Alice973 Instagram.
That was great. Good job. Oh, you look very handsome in that picture, by the
thank
way.
Thank you.
When you pull up the photo, you actually, your eyes go to Hooman.
Yeah, you think they'd go to James Franco.
Right, next to movie stars, and yet... You go right to Hooman.
Right to Hooman's got a whole thing going on. Thanks. Good
Great job, buddy.
Oh, thanks so much.
Excellent. Thanks. Thank you for doing that. I know you had a huge busy day that day.
That was an intense week last week, I got to say. But
Yeah, I agree.
And good job to Bryn, too. Bryn, of course, is not here. He's on paternity
leave. He's probably listening. Great job, Bryn.
Yeah, really good job. Really, that was a very fun.
My
face hurts from smiling so hard at that.
I'm excited for you to see the Disaster Artist. I know you got a lot going on with your backyard, but I hope you can.
I'll try to squeeze it in this weekend. Well, it's going wide, so it's out, but it's in limited release, and I think this weekend, right, is when it goes completely wide. Hooman, what has happened? Is everything okay over there?
He just the computer came unplugged.
Oh, that was crazy! Because we have more audio. My whole screen, everything. I know our texts aren't working. I just thought everything went black.
Yeah. You know, I'm getting a few texts, but unfortunately,
yay!
Just a few. But the only ones coming in say "win," so people are texting to the wrong number.
Hey,
but
you guys, don't text "win" to us. Text "win" to 80787. It's a nationwide. It's a whole different thing.
Maybe it got rerouted to us.
Right.
You know. So during the break, I'm in there, and Yuzette's on, like, you know, technical assistance with the company that handles mm-hmm. our texts mm-hmm. for us. And the guy answers the phone with, "We're having a problem. And we got a router is down. What else can I help you with?"
Yeah, it was like a perfect statement. Something he was reading.
Yeah, it was like a recorded version. And then he gets on.
He goes, "Yeah, well, is there anything else I can help you with? Because we're screwed. How about you?" And he's like, "Well, we're a radio station. We depend on your service to bring us our listeners' mm-hmm. texts every day." And so,
and he's like, "Uh-huh."
Yeah, like, uh-huh, I already told you, we're having problems. She's like, "Well, when can we expect to have this back up?" So I guess they're working furiously. Yeah. But so my assumption is any text that were sent before their router went down will get to us late?
Or will those just be gone? I bet they'll come through. Boop, 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 boop.
Okay. Anyway, wow, I am very impressed.
Oh, thanks so much.
Like, it sounded like they had a great time.
Yeah.
The guys.
They did, yeah. You know, I probably shouldn't say this, but the movie studio, you know, the agent, the representative was there.
Said you're amazing.
Said
you're
the best ones. You guys are the best ones.
Of course.
I'm sure she says that to
everybody. We're the best ones. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, you probably should have said that. No.
All right. So, last night on Stephen Colbert, and mm-hmm. I haven't had a chance to see this yet, but yesterday, Billy Bush, I have no real feelings about it. I didn't watch Access Hollywood. I don't know that much about him. Like, I didn't have, like, strong, you know, hero worship or anything for him. But I did feel like that guy got a super raw deal after the tape of him on the bus with Donald Trump came out right before the election last year. And I thought, you know, how unfair is it that the guy who's just laughing along is out of a job mm-hmm. and the other guy, the one who admitted to sexual assault, is now the president?
Yep.
So yesterday, I read a piece that I think it was the New York Times printed it, just a Billy Bush essay. And it was in response to women, to Trump in the last 2 weeks. You started to hear these rumblings where he's telling people in his circle and elsewhere that, "Oh, that was, I think that was a doctored tape. I don't think that was me on that tape." So Billy Bush said, "No, dude, that was you. And you admitted it at the time, and there's just no question that it was you, and it was you, and it was you the whole time." So he went on to Colbert last night, and this is another one. I just gave it to Hooman. Hooman was going crazy over this tape this morning, and so we're going to hear Billy Bush from last night's Colbert.
So this was a 12-minute interview. I just grabbed the first 1 minute, 45 seconds to kind of give you a taste of it. The rest of it is pretty serious, and there's very little laughter because, you know, it's a serious topic. But right. here's
before you started,
yes.
You mentioned that as Billy Bush comes out, the applause is less than enthusiastic.
Yeah, people are not into him coming out.
But the clip that I heard this morning when he's making a couple of statements that I thought, wow, well said, the audience seems to be more. Does he win the audience over?
I only listened the first 6 minutes. I didn't listen to all 12 minutes.
All right.
Hopefully by the end he had a standing ovation.
Here's the part I don't get, and the last person on earth, I wouldn't defend either of these dudes, but did anyone for 1 second believe that Donald Trump may or may not have, or that the tape is doctored?
Absolutely not.
Not for 1 second. Like, no. I don't even know why. I guess I do know why. Billy Bush wants to get back in front of people and maybe clear his name, but it's no one believes our president about
anything.
This nonsense.
Isn't that wonderful that no one believes our president really about anything?
It's just not even worth coming out and saying, yeah, that was you. Of course, everybody knows that, Billy.
I think it's good that he's making the statement. I mean, I think that someone should. There are people who will believe anything Trump says. There's clearly half the country thinks so.
That's the question I'm asking. So
I'm surprised it took Billy so long to come out and say something.
I think since Trump has been saying this stuff, maybe he was busy crafting that really well-written essay.
Yeah.
Because it did. It seemed like about 2 weeks went by from the first little rumblings and smoke that I was like, what? Is he kidding? Because he came out right after the tape was released and said, yeah, I did say that stuff. It was locker room talk.
All right, here we go. And there's a flavor of the interview. Right. It's so much longer. And it's
makes the point. He's now suffering. He's lost his career. His wife and him broke up. His life is in ruins. And the other guy, the one who actually said the bad stuff, is the president. It's fantastic. So if you want to watch the whole thing, that was on Colbert last night. Trump also has just shrunk a bunch of national park lands down by millions of acres. And a lot of these were recently, because he's trying to undo everything that Obama put his hands on in any way, shape, or form, because Obama declared millions and millions of acres to be national parkland. And he's trying to undo that. There's wilderness groups that say that there's something called the Antiquities Act. They say it only allows presidents to create national monuments, does not authorize them to do away with national monuments. So I'm sure it'll be, you know, more. The lawyers are psyched. They get to take more things to court. And they're specifically talking about a Utah park that it was at 1.7 million acres, and he's taken that way down by like a million acres. And they say there's all kinds of sacred Native American sites on there, and then they want to open it up for drilling for oil. And
no, it sucks.
Yeah.
He's no friend of the environment, it sucks.
That is for sure. And I have some more movie stuff for you, Hooman, but you know what? We're just about out of time, so I'm going to do this one more short thing. Khloe Kardashian.
Yeah.
The rumor is that she's pregnant. Has she confirmed that she's pregnant? Has she said, yes, I'm pregnant?
I don't know. She keeps hiding the bump.
There's a picture of her today. She looks like she's, and she's always been,
Who knocked her up?
Bigger girl.
I think it's her new boyfriend. He's an NBA guy. I don't have his name in front. Oh, Tristan Thompson. She's always been a bigger girl.
Yeah.
But here she is, swaddled in a sweatshirt, a pair of jeans, and a giant purse in front of her. They say if it's true that she'd be about 5 months pregnant,
mm-hmm.
you can't see anything in this picture because she is truly, like, the purse just seems positioned so awkwardly.
Absolutely.
That there it is.
It's on purpose. I hope she is pregnant.
Me too.
That's
she
what
wanted
she's
a baby
been wanting
so
all
bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
How old is she? Do we know?
In her 30s.
Early 30s.
Yeah. All right. Good for her.
Yeah. Let's hope that she is. And maybe she just doesn't want to be photographed with a big bump.
Well, it's tough stuff. I mean, maybe she's had some miscarriages.
Oh,
maybe
they've had a lot of,
yeah,
of trouble.
Mean, I could see that she feels like, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
When that baby's breathing air.
Yep. That's when I'll celebrate.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, there's a picture of her out today that was... I thought, oh, go Chloe.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, thanks, Sarah. I appreciate it. She super cares what I think. All right, Vinny, what's coming up in the news?
The latest housing market to buy.
Oh.
Oh, it's big. Big news, everyone.
Where to buy?
Where to buy?
Is it Temecula?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I don't know. After these.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Hello, happy Tuesday. Looks gorgeous out there. Supposed to be on the windy side again, huh? Vinny, mm-hmm. There's a bunch of fires down south. They're saying it's the Santa Anas that are exacerbating.
Yeah,
we always talk about those. All right, this part of the show is brought to you by HSBC Bank. The 12 days of holiday start tomorrow here on the Alice. We do this every year, and this time We have $500 Westfield San Francisco Center gift cards
huge.
To give away.
Huge.
That is really going to put a dent in yeah. what you spend this holiday season. And if you haven't shopped at the Westfield, it's so beautiful over there.
It really is. There's so many different types of stores there. You're really going to be able to find for everybody, including yourself.
And look up, because there's an incredible inverted yeah. crystal Christmas tree mm-hmm. there. So this starts tomorrow. Be listening for your cue to call, because when you are when you're calling 97, we're going to have these $500 Westfield San Francisco Center gift cards. Starting tomorrow, the 12 days of holiday here on the Alice.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by Bananas at Large.
Yeah.
Shop for the musician on your holiday list in store or at bananas.com.
Oh, don't worry. I will.
Bananas at Large is excellent. They're in San Rafael and Santa Rosa.
Yep, and they have been so good to us as a station. I mean, you know, some memorable moments, and then of course they've provided us with guitars.
Right,
and we love Bananas.
Mm-hmm. Here's what's happening. You mentioned the windy wildfire.
You always talk about the Santa Anas, and I'm not. You know, I didn't live that long in Southern California, so I'm not sure, but they're this time of year they'd kick up. And
well, it's in my opinion, it's a little late. Usually it's a well, I guess it's still fall, so
yeah,
sure,
I guess it is
but yeah, it's an October thing when you get the dry, strong offshore winds known as the Santa Anas. We get them here too, it's just we don't call them the Santa Anas,
right.
In fact, for the first time I think it was this year I saw them called the Diablo winds.
Oh.
And I was all, okay.
You know, I think the reason they've named them and have like a whole thing is that was the only time that I lived in LA for about a year.
Uh-huh.
And it was the only time I could ever see all the way across the valley. And
oh, because it cleared the smog
out. All the air particulate was gone. I lived in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you could see all the way to Burbank. And I could see the hills and thought, wow, this is actually quite beautiful when it's not brown.
Right.
The fire is currently raging. About 48 square miles, destroyed 150 structures. We know all about this up here. In fact, thanks again to everyone who donated to our big fundraising drive, which we did last Friday. Mm-hmm. And thanks to the firefighters that came out and supported mm-hmm. us. Darren and Rob were down south in Los Gatos, and their whole crew.
We had the Southern Marin Fire District up there.
Right, they brought their trucks out
yeah.
to support. It was, and they clearly take a lot of pride in what they do, and you know, they were talking about how many people put their entire lives into putting those fires out.
Yep,
you know, went for it. So that's happening down south. It's certainly worth a mention, as we know all too well how much trouble that can cause, which leads me to my next story. This is about the aftermath of the fires in wine country. The for sale signs are starting to go up on burned out lots.
Oh.
So they say here, you're starting to see ads put up. The city will be finished with lot cleanup this week. And this spot will be, here's the coming soon sign.
Right.
This spot will be up for sale. There's no home there.
No.
It's just an empty lot. But one of the stories is about the Bostands. I'm probably mispronouncing that, but they own their home outright. The guy says, I thought I did everything right. But he can't stretch his family's finances enough to afford to rebuild with his wife, and they have a handicapped 43-year-old son that lives with them. I thought I had it all figured out. I had a house that was paid off and a small retirement payment, and now I'm forced, after 40 years of my life in the Bay Area, to move elsewhere.
Oh.
So you're going to see a lot of these lots going up from people who have to take that money and leave town. So you might think, oh, these people buying there are awful. They're taking advantage. They're also helping the people get on with their lives.
Right.
I mean, this person in the story I'm reading is moving to Colorado, where the money that he gets from the house sale will help him
set up a new life. Right.
To
oh, that's heartbreaking.
Start over.
Where you lived your whole life.
Mm-hmm. Well, in that case, they say they've been here 40 years. Also, weirdly, home prices have surged 92% in a California city that often shows up on the most miserable list.
Is it Modesto?
It's Stockton.
Oh.
Stockton housing market, they write here, is on fire. That's not the right way to say that.
Not these days, anyway.
Especially after we just did. Anyway, it's raging.
Why?
In Stockton, because it's affordable.
Yeah.
Because people, and you know when Hooman said Temecula, it's that thing where people go, you know what, I'm taking on the commuter life, or I'm retiring, at least in the state that I grew up in or that I love. It's affordable there. They say the housing prices have gone up, but you can still get a home for $275,000.
That's a very inviting price tag.
It sure is. Mm. So that's...
I mean, your rent's higher than your mortgage payment on that.
We've been hearing a lot of people moving to Sacramento as well, and those prices are now going up like crazy. Stockton, though, everyone.
No thanks.
What?
Maybe is there a train that can get you into...
Possibly the ACE train might go there. I can't remember.
Did you ever live there?
In Stockton? No.
I don't even think I've been there.
John's daughter used to live there, and we visited her a couple times, but because they could afford it.
Yeah.
But they moved back here because that's where the jobs are.
More than 3,000 Oakland City workers are going on strike starting today. I guess they've been working without a contract since June, it looks like. They, of course, want pay raises, among other things. So we'll see. It looks like librarians, street cleaners, sewer workers, building inspectors, and other city employees will be striking to demand a pay raise. Mm. Oakland's Mayor Libby Schaaf says, this is unlawful. We have not reached an impasse. You cannot walk off the job.
Oh.
So we'll see if they come to a quick agreement here or not. Speaking of jobs, according to Glassdoor.com, a lot of people get lazy in December thinking no one's hiring right now. Mm. Everyone's leaving for the holidays. According to Glassdoor.com, December can actually be the best month to land a job. You might not get hired in December unless you're looking for temp work or holiday work, but most companies get their new budgets and make their new plans for the new year now.
Hmm.
And so get your resume in now.
Is Glassdoor a resume thing? One of those?
It's sort of a job search if you're looking for a job or if employers are looking for employees.
If you apply for something right now, you're more likely to stand out and stay ahead of the game. You boost your chances of getting hired in January when companies have their new budgets. So,
now's the time, kids.
I know plenty of people who tap out. It's the holidays. Yep. No one's going to even... Well,
we played a spot earlier that UPS is hiring.
Yep, we did.
How about a fast fact?
I love it.
Fast fact. Space Invaders. Oh, my God. I started reading the new Ready Player One was written by who?
Ernest Cline.
Okay. I started reading Armada by Ernest Cline.
It's fun.
It's not.
It's not as good as Ready Player One's a freaking masterpiece.
Yeah.
But it's a super fun. It's got a good concept, and it gets right to it.
Well, and Space Invaders has just reminded me of that book, so I'm reading that now.
So is that an Atari game, Space Invaders?
Yeah, Space Invaders was one of the first sort of video games.
Love Space Invaders.
We all remember that. It moved across the screen. Yep. Space Invaders made $2.7 billion in revenue as an arcade game.
Really?
Which is around $10 billion if you adjust for inflation. That makes it the highest grossing arcade game ever. Just ahead of?
Pac-Man?
Yep, Pac-Man. Oh,
that's the big one.
Just ahead of Pac-Man.
I always liked Tempest.
Yeah, me too. That was fun.
You did?
Yeah.
So you played video games at the arcade all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Sure. And we had, we had an Atari system at my house and always was into that.
All right.
But Tempest was so fun.
It was.
I was never any good at it. In Ready Player One, you're just like, how is he doing this? But he is.
Why? Because he's scoring so high?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's,
he has to.
Right, but it's interesting as you hear the character in the story talk about becoming really good at these things. They put in hours upon hours on their asses.
This is all they do.
They just sit there and get good at these games and memorize dialogue from bad 80s movies. It's credit to them.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in the context of the story, it's very necessary.
Right.
But man, that is some lazy stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's on your ass stuff. It seems like a lot of work, actually, because all work that's done sitting down and not doing anything.
Banana slugs.
Oh, what about them?
Oh, I hate them.
Why?
They're so hideous looking.
I don't know. When I was a kid, we used to keep our dogs. We had sort of this pantry thing outside the kitchen. And so, but then it had a window that led to the backyard. And somehow banana slugs used to make their way in.
Ugh, into the pantry?
Into the little area and get in my dog's bowl, like where the water was. Oh, and it would freak me out. Oh, to this day, I just cringe.
About banana slugs.
Well, I guess you wouldn't have done well at Santa Cruz.
Oh, sorry, Santa Cruz.
They are banana slugs.
Sorry about that.
Banana slugs.
Yes.
Have the same size junk as humans.
What?
Banana slugs are about 6 to 8 inches long, and believe it or not, when they're
aroused,
it's also 6 to 8 inches long.
So what is it, beside them? Where does it come out of? Their back?
I don't
understand
a picture of it. What are you talking about? I'm just telling you.
Research department. I'm going to need to see a banana slug junk.
Gross.
I mean, where does it go? I would assume it's under.
All right,
them,
do you really want to see this?
Yes, I really want to see it. Is it the same length? It's probably just like a pin, right? But 6 inches long.
Describe it to me. Let me just bring it in there, and then you can put your glasses on.
All right, I'm putting my glasses on.
You wanted him to describe it to you?
Kind of.
Would that have been more fun?
I think that's it right there as it's coming out.
Oh, yuck.
See how it's like
See it too?
Yeah.
No, that's what makes him a banana slug. That's the banana part. Well, type in banana penis.
That's what I typed in.
Oh, and you got it.
Yeah.
Yuzi's got it, everyone.
Disgusting.
Is it?
Show Vinny. Maybe he can.
I don't want to see. I was already done with that part of the news. Oh. I've already moved on.
I can't move on from that.
Yeah.
It's one of those things.
No, the bottom is that's what makes it a banana slug, the yellow part.
I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, it's the same size as their body.
How fortunate for them?
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like we might be getting text, everyone. I got three texts.
Oh, my God.
408 says, test 3. Yuzi, do you read me? Literally. Yes, I do. Thank you so much.
All right.
Oh. Someone said, do you guys ever watch Future Man?
I watched the first episode of that. That's pretty good. And it's,
what is it?
It's the kid who plays, his name is Josh Hutcherson, and he's in the Hunger Games. He's like the
Peter. He's in the Room, or the Disaster Artist.
Oh, he is?
I think so. Let me check.
He plays a guy who's like a video game expert, in the first episode, he sort of wins this video game thing, and then the people from the video game come and get him because he's just proved himself. And then I haven't watched past it because I went, oh my God, my kids will love this, and I stopped watching it.
Oh.
So it's kind of goofy and sort of funny and...
So you'll watch that as a family.
I'm sure we will.
You immediately recognized, like, this is good for family time.
I got to save this.
All right.
A question for you guys. 650 says, is Ready Player One too advanced for middle school boys? Any inappropriate material?
No.
No. It's perfect for a middle school boy. My kids have read it, and my one kid now has weird nostalgia for the 80s. Like, he talks all the time about how he wishes he'd been alive in the 80s.
That is the problem. If there's any problem, it's that a kid from today will miss a lot of the references. A lot of the references missed me, and I'm that sweet spot.
Right.
I'm all 80s. So,
but it's made him go back, and he now wants to watch all of these movies, and he wants to play all of these games, and he wishes that he had been in the 80s.
I got from Ready Player One, that's the book we're talking about, I got all the music references, for sure. I got many or most of all the movie references, but he references a ton of games
and that TV shows that miss me completely.
That, yep. Computer stuff that miss me completely. So there's, but unfortunately, a young person will miss a lot of those references.
The thing is, the story itself is great. You do follow. He does a pretty good job of explaining the context of everything that's in that. And I think a middle schooler would love that book.
Yep. Am I out of time? Do I do another story?
Go ahead,
or, okay.
Sneak one in. We don't have any texts, man.
So, man, 22. Meets 81-year-old friend after 300 words with friends games. So a young dude from, a 22-year-old dude from New York.
Yeah.
He's a skinny black kid. And an 81-year-old, like an old gray-haired white lady, have been playing words with friends and have become really good friends because of
is
it.
Is there a messaging feature on that game?
I don't know. I don't play words with friends, but they say they struck up a friendship playing words with friends, and they've now met in person. The meeting was arranged by Amy Butler, a New York pastor, who went with Spencer on the trip. Spencer's the young, they call him a Harlem rapper.
Oh.
He flew to West Palm Beach on Friday to spend time with Roz. She's 81.
That's so fun.
And they became close friends because of Words with Friends.
How very interesting.
I can't get enough of it. They love it.
I wonder if they actually sat and played Scrabble while they were... Because isn't that what Words with Friends is? It's like an online... You go back and forth playing
Scrabble. I thought you played it.
I have played. I played it years ago, but I used to get really sick of it. And I had all these games coming at me from all these different... And I just went... I couldn't spend the kind of time I needed to really look at the letters and figure out what my best word was. And I just...
To crush people, you mean?
Yeah, I need to crush people, you know?
Hey, you are a word girl.
Could you take line one? You said something about future, man. People are, like, really wanting to warn that this is not a family-friendly show at all on any level.
Hello?
Hello, who's on the line? Hi,
Sean.
Hi, Sean.
Hi, Sean. I can't believe you would recommend that show. I watch it with my 18-year-old daughter, and I'm blushing. It's so crude.
Oh, no, it's we weren't recommending that. We were recommending Ready Player One. Future Man came up as a part of something else. That was a
right,
text.
Right, but you said that you stopped watching it because you want to watch it with
your
kids.
Oh, my God, my kids are totally mature. And they, I mean, there is that one thing in the first one where it's like, oh, that just happened.
What is
it? Where Josh was alone in his room.
Uh-huh, that's the one. And there's an explosion.
Yeah. Episode two, it gets even better.
Oh, don't tell me. Okay, all thanks, right. Sean. That's true. You reminded me of something very important. Happy Tuesday.
You watched that with your kid, huh?
No, I haven't watched it with them yet. And they'll be fine with it, please. They're super mature.
Of course.
Okay, what's coming up in the trash, Sarah?
I'm going to start with the 10 best movies of the year, according to Rolling Stone, Hooman.
Oh.
I'm going to need you to weigh in on this. There's a Daniel Day-Lewis movie that's opening on Christmas
It's his last
Day.
Film, yeah. I asked the studio if I could see it early. So far, I've gotten
it's
a lot of
It's the one about him being a dressmaker.
Yeah.
It's called Phantom Thread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I guess the thread is the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we'll be right back.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.